My text this morning is in the third chapter of the Epistle to the Philippians, and I will take verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the section would be verses 12 to 15. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. It is a lovely section, beautiful. But to understand it, we must look at that very carefully and see that there is an illustration there. It isn't at first altogether obvious. But on looking again, it's not altogether hidden either. There is a picture there. And the picture that the apostle has here for the Philippian church is of the runner, the games. Now, in the city of Philippi, as we know, it was a Roman colony and a very up-to-date city in all the things at that time. And it would boast also of a great sports stadium. And so if you wanted to illustrate things to people, one of your illustrations would inevitably be regarding that area of things. And here the apostle takes something that they all knew about, and I suppose maybe all of them, or at least it would be most of them, would have seen many of these games at some time or another. And he wants to direct their attention particularly to one event, and that is the runner, and the race for the runner. And it is described as 607 feet, something like 200 yards. They varied a little. In Ephesus, that particular race was just a few more yards than it was at Philippi, but it was about just over 200 yards. And it was an important event. And you'd have the runners there, and it might be sometimes it would be just the 200 yards. Sometimes back and for, and other times back and for a few times. But it was an important part of the sports of that time. And he wants them to think about that illustration. And that whole passage now has to do with that thought. And especially with the text that I had, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, that is a picture that he had. So what he has here then is progression. They know their position. Now, last Sunday, we were looking at the first 9 verses in chapter 3. And there, if you remember, they're very telling and very striking verses, but maybe the one I would choose now, just to sum it up, is in verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, you remember that particular verse where Paul is describing there his experience of the grace of God. There was a time when I trusted other things for my salvation. I thought there were other ways of reaching and coming to God. But all those things now, even the virtuous ones, I count as loss. And he goes to very strong language and he says, I count them but dung, that they are of no value to me at all. Where am I now? I'm found. The grace of God has sought him, and he is found. Then he describes in theological terms exactly how he is found. He takes up in those verses before his own righteousness, his own efforts, his own attempts at godliness, his own goodness, and his own merits. And he looks at them and he says, a futile,
They're a loss. They are but dung. My righteousness is unworthy. He could be quoting quite easily, he could be quoting from the prophet Isaiah, where he says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. So he said, when I examine my past life, even though I was very religious, I can see, even in my highest religious attainments, much pride and much selfishness and self-centeredness. And I count that now as a disadvantage. It was as dung. In as far as understanding this was concerned, not in its value afterwards. There were many things that he said, they were good. But he said, in as far as it blinded me to my need. You can see what he's saying. A person who lives in out and out sin, and you tell him he's a sinner, well, generally speaking, he can agree with it. But if you come to a person who is, from our standard, who's been a good person, and lives on a fairly high standard, and maybe has gone to church or chapel all his life, and you tell that person, you are a sinner, he can react and say, but I'm good. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. That inner spiritual sight is not there. They don't realize that, and they pile up all their goodnesses and say, look at me, here is my righteousness. It takes a miracle for that person to see it is but dung. Big thing to say, isn't it? It is all loss. Why is it a loss? Because it blinded me. It was blindness upon blindness and hindered me from seeing my need of another righteousness, of another dimension altogether. And so he explains, I'm now found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but another, the righteousness of God. Perfection. Absolute perfection. It comes from God. How do I get it? Faith in Christ. How is it achieved? He lives a perfect life for me. He pays the penalty for my failure. So by faith, which is a gift, I appropriate that gift and the benefits of Christ, which brings me the given righteousness of God. That is a righteousness which is acceptable by God. Found in him. That is my position. Now then, he says, I want you to consider your progression. And it's by progression he means that they have a responsibility. And here where you see the apostle balancing perfectly divine grace and human responsibility. So that you now have a race to run. You have a life to live. You have a body that you're in. Your position with God is perfect. But as you are now in this life, it leaves a great deal to be desired. So run the race. That's the picture. Now, three little headings, and the first one then is this. Dedication. We will have seen or heard on the radio or television something of the recent games. And you remember a comment like this. You look at a certain event, and there's a quietness before the start of it. And here the commentator comes and he says, look at that concentration. Now, how can you see concentration? But you can. You can see that this person is shutting out everything else. The weight which so easily beset us. The sin which hinders us. He's shutting out everything else. And he's concentrating his mind on this aim, this goal, this particular athletic feat. So he's saying to them, there is dedication there. Even in the world of sports, there is dedication there. Christian world is in. The Christians at Philippi and we Christians at Heath here this morning, he's saying, I want to see that degree of dedication and concentration. But we might answer and say, but I'm saved. I know you are, I said. But I want you to understand that there is a human responsibility and a response in the man of grace. He sees his position, and in this life, he progresses towards it. That's the picture. Do you remember the story of the hare and the tortoise? Let me read you this little phrase. While the tortoise was plodding steadily on, the hare took a nap, and on awakening discovered, too late, that his opponent had already reached the goal. He's saying that, really. There were some in Philippi that were saying, but we are Christians. Oh, I know, we should be godly people later on. I'll concentrate later on. A few years maybe, when I'm older, when I'm middle-aged or elderly, I'll concentrate later on. I'll take a little spiritual nap and allow the body to indulge a little in this lovely city of Philippi. And it's a way of reaching the Philippian pagans. And he would argue like that. Paul said it's not like that. There must be, and I appeal to you, there must be a concentration as if running the race won your salvation. It doesn't do, but you have to run as if it all depended on you. In a strange way, you see, we're able to say the Christian is sure of his prize, but the proof of that certainty is how he runs the race. So he's appealing to them to run the race with all their strength and with all their concentration. If there is dedication in athletics, there must be a greater dedication for the race that we have to run. We all have to. I have a race to run. I've run parts of it. You've run parts of yours. We still have a way to go. Are we running well? Are we running steadfastly? Are we running patiently? Are we running obediently? Are we running looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith? Or are we saying, well, I am saved, and I am a nice person. There's more to it than that. Listen to the verse. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. You know, I can't say that, says Paul. I am found in him. There is a sense where I am perfect in Christ. But I cannot say that about my present condition. My present condition is I am Paul with all his problems, yet I am a saved man and the grace of God is within me. So I run. And I run drawing on the grace of God in this life. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. He's saying, Christ has laid hold upon me. Let me reach out all the days of my life towards him, knowing I am safe, yet showing my energies and my desires are in his direction. Dedication. We're perfect in Christ, yet the full measure of it in this life, we're far from it. And so the struggle goes on. We pursue after godliness. Now, Paul puts that quite plainly. There is no room now for any resting on his laurels and say, well, in Christ, he's the forerunner. He's run before me. I rest upon his victory. We do. Ultimately, finally, that's true. Yet the proof of it is this. What has that done to me in this life? Does it leave me that I continue in my ordinary way, trying a little, failing a little, sinning a little, and so on? Or does it change me that I desire to run that Christian life with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Dedication. So we might say about one another, look at that concentration. Look at that dedication. Secondly, it calls for Determination. Determination. It is our blessed Lord who said, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." Implication. A person saying he's saved, perfect in Christ. He runs for 20 years. But he feels now he's run pretty well. He says, "Well, I'm getting past my middle years now, and there'll be no more pleasure much more in the things of this world for me, so I'll indulge a little, and maybe I'll catch up again." He that endureth to the end, even though he ran that far, that long, is he lost? Unless he's a backslider, yes, I'd say he's lost. Why? Because if we do not prove that running all the way or the days of our lives, then it is apparent that no work took place in our hearts. It's no fault in what God does. It's in ourselves. The proof of that perfect position is that pursuit, that dedication, and that determination. We do it in sports, and we expect the sportsman to be dedicated and determined. We expect it in business. We see concentration, dedication, determination. We see it in our studies. Dedication, concentration, and determination. He says, "Come now, do it here as well." Verse 13 on determination. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I don't say I've reached that race and its goal yet, but I know one thing, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." What is he doing? He's giving me advice. He's a good trainer for runners here, for spiritual Christian runners. He's saying, "Shall I tell you now how a runner, come back to the stadium," he says, "and let's look at these men as they are running. There you see dedication, and there you see determination. But see, they are not going to be distracted. Let us put an imaginary scene, and we have some who support somebody else, and they're trying to catcall and pass unkind remarks regarding a runner, and to distract him so that he looks to the right, or he looks to the left, and he stumbles. Or they say he's catching up somebody else behind him, and he looks behind, and he loses time, and he loses his concentration. He must be determined that he keeps his eye on the goal, and further, on the prize already won. But he keeps his eye on the goal, running unto Jesus, looking unto him." Paul gives advice, and here it is then. "Forgetting those things which are behind." Now, this is something we all know about. When we are running, we know that illustration. Now we come to the spiritual life. How easy it is to look back, to pause for a while and say, "I think I did very well in that situation a few years ago," and look on past merits and have a nice, comfortable little feeling and say, "That was lovely, the way I forgave that person. Very sweet of me. I enjoyed that. It was good on life's pilgrimage." And looking back on past merits. Or it can be looking back on past failures and failing to see that you were given grace to overcome and to go on, and still regret and still are sorrowful. And Satan reminding us and saying, he says, tells us to look at the sin that's in us. He said, "Look at you. You say you're running. Do you remember how you behaved? Do you remember how you acted in that time 10 years ago?" And Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. What should I do? Upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. We look back at past sorrows, at past difficulties, at past things that overwhelmed us at the time. Yes, but we were given grace. And he's saying here, if you're going to run, don't look back. Whatever it may be, a merit or a failure, a sorrow or a difficulty, whatever it may be, forgetting those things which are behind. They say like this, get into a kind of a state of trance where you forget the past. Take something that will help you to forget the past. Do something that will help you to forget the past. No, he's not saying that. What he's saying is this. Active obliteration. Satan brings a past failure to my mind. And I say to him, I confessed it. I am forgiven. I look up to my Savior who forgave me. I obliterate it. I actively say, of course I remember. Of course I know. We cannot eliminate memory. Of course I know. But I actively put it behind me in order that I might run the race. And the other part of running, reaching forth unto those things which are before, those things, glory, blessedness, a place without tears, a place without sorrow, or hunger, or thirst, or pain, or any of these things, or death, those things, the presence of Christ, the beauty of God, the loveliness of the fount of living waters, those things which are before, that's how we run. For that prize, I aim at that goal. For that prize, that's how we should run. So, how do we do it? We take ourselves in hand and ask God for the grace. Help me, Lord, to actively forget and obliterate those things which I remember, but which are behind and are forgiven. Help me, Lord, to put them there. Keep me, Lord, with my eye on Thee. Help me, Lord, to have at the forefront of my mind those things, those wonderful things that Thou hast for me. Far off, I see the goal. O Saviour, guide me. I feel my strength is small. Be Thou beside me. With vision ever clear, with love that conquers fear, and grace to persevere, O Lord, provide me. Dedication, determination, that we come to the place this morning where we say, yes, I can see this. And like some of the Philippian Christians of old, who may be a little lax regarding things, some would have said, like the illustration I gave, I'll take a little nap and I'll catch up later. How dangerous that position. Who knows if you really are his? Or that other position where we might say, oh, well, I ran well, but I got tired. It was too much for me. I just couldn't keep it up. All sorts of situations. He's saying, call on God to give you grace. Forget those things which are behind. Look for those things which are behind. And the weakest is made strong. Be determined to support all those things that advance our spiritual progress and the work of grace in our lives and in the church. Then lastly, destination. The goal, the prize, the goal or the aim, the goal is that I might run well and arrive. Paul said in one place, I have run the race. I have fought the fights. I have kept the faith. Wonderful. I hope by God's grace that that will be my experience. That with my latest breath, when I say, behold the Lamb, I'll also be able to think, I have fought the fights. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. And the weakest saint can do it by God's grace. Look at the advice here. Forgetting, actively obliterating, put it out of your mind. Ask God for grace. Those things which are behind, pressing for those things which are ahead. Our destination, the prize, the goal rivets our attention. The goal rivets the attention to the race, obviously. The race that is being run. The prize rivets our attention to the glory that is to come. Come back now to the stadium. There we are in Philippi, and the Christians there are listening carefully, and many of them who were maybe quite athletic and had even been runners themselves, smiling with appreciation what he is saying. And then he said, there is this, remember, we know that it is only one winner in a race, but here every Christian wins. Every Christian wins. What happens to the winner? There's a moment where he's invited up to a particular stand. And there the governor of Philippi and the colony would be there. Maybe Caesar might have dropped in, who knows. And there they would be, all the important people of the city. And everybody would be acclaiming this runner for running so well and for winning the race. And there he'd be given the laurels and be given so many talents of gold as well. He'd be very pleased with the gold and delighted with the laurels, and he would be for the moment the man of the hour. He'd had his prize. His aim was to win. The goal was that spot over there. And they can see, they say even there now, the marks where the feet are a little groove in the stone where the runners put their feet, and the place where they won. And so they would there be waiting for the starting, whatever it may have been called. And then over there, that point was the aim, the goal, the finishing line. Fought the fights, run the race, kept the faith. That's the goal. The prize is not won by my running. The prize was won by my forerunner, Jesus Christ. For we are perfect in him, yet we progress. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, it's as if he was talking to maybe a person who's giving them the laurels, and he's sharing his experience on the stand, and they're saying, somebody might say, well, you did very well. You did very well indeed to run that race as you did. Yes, I'm ever so pleased that I won, and so on. And then he's saying, now then, what kept you going? Oh, I tell you what kept me going, says the ordinary runner. What kept me going? I concentrated. I kept my eye on the goal there. I kept my eye there. I didn't listen even to the jeers or the cheers of the crowd. I didn't listen to anything. I was out to win. And I thought beyond the goal, the prize. I thought of the wonderful prize that you have for me today. I thought of that. And Paul says, you know what we think of? The high calling. Listen to the verse again. I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. How did I ever come to the starting point? He called me to believe. He called me to repent. He called me into faith. He called me into pardon. He called me into a relationship with himself. It was a high calling, an upward calling. And I knew my prize was secured. Then the race that was set before me. How did I run that race? All the while I heard him calling me on and on and on. And sometimes when I felt discouraged, I heard through the Spirit and his word and through his preachers and so on, calling me on to dedication and determination and to see my destination. And on I went in my race. One thing in my mind, the end of the journey and glory and God. God himself being the end of my journey. And then the calling to the stadium, to the stand. And then one day he'll call me when I have run the race and fought the fight and kept the faith. One day he'll call me to that place. And he'll say to me, you run well, you good and faithful servant.
I have a prize for you here. But the prize was already won. The prize is heaven itself, and glory, and peace, and all the riches and the splendor of that place. We are presented, we are told, to God by Jesus Christ. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We, Christian runners, one day will be presented faultless, blameless, by Jesus Christ to God with exceeding joy. Let us use a name, say Matthew, or use one of the names like that, Mark and Luke. Matthew is this. Here you are. Let me present you to my Father. Father, see this runner. See how he ran. And the Father says, give him a crown. Well, who bought that crown? The Savior. Paul. You ran well, Paul. I'm glad to see you. And the Savior says, I present him faultless, blameless, in my own merits, with exceeding joy. To the glory, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Far off I see the goal. O Savior, guide me. I feel my strength is small. Be thou beside me. With vision ever clear, with love that conquers fear, and grace to persevere. O Lord, provide me. Let us pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we ask thy blessing upon this service, these words, and pray for all of us, O Lord, that as if it were for the first time, as if we had only just been converted this moment, and we just realized the wonder of forgiveness of sins and peace with God, and with great determination we say, O Lord, I will follow after thee. Help us, O Lord, on life's pilgrimage, and in this brief and uncertain life, to follow after thee, for thy name's sake. Amen.